your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. I want to call your attention to just one verse this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. Like I said, I'm not going to be preaching long. I sure enjoyed the children's cantata this morning. It was a blessing to hear them singing and quoting the scriptures and talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived some 33 and a half years, walked this earth, and went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood and died so that you and I could have eternal life. And I appreciate that. But I do want to call your attention to one verse this morning, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Amen. What's a good verse? Brother Russell, would you pray for the message this morning? Yes. Help me, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Yes. Amen.
Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you. May be seated this morning. With this being the Sunday before Christmas, I thought it to be appropriate to preach about the greatest gift ever given. Paul says that we are to give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. It's unspeakable because there's no words in language of any type that can describe just how great this gift of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And of course, this gift is our precious Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the salvation that he gives. When you read some verses in the Bible that speaks of Christ or salvation as being a gift, you see that Jesus Christ is synonymous with eternal life. Jesus is salvation. Salvation is Jesus. And this unspeakable, indescribable gift that is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I want you to think about these scriptures. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God. He is that gift. His salvation is that gift. John 4:10, when Jesus Christ himself is speaking, he says, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." He tells the folks there that I am a gift to you from God. Romans 5:16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Jesus Christ is a free gift. And without a doubt, he is absolutely, without a doubt, Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that's ever been given. And I'm going to prove that to you this morning if you have any doubt. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, "Well, I've got some pretty good gifts in my life, and I know what some good gifts are, and I'm just not so sure that Jesus Christ," maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not for sure what kind of gift he is. Well, I'm going to convince you that I hope I will anyway, that he is the greatest gift of all times. And we're going to look at five different categories very quickly this morning. And look how he stacks up. I believe if you're going to claim that something is the greatest gift, then there's five different categories you've got to look at to see. Is he great? Is he the greatest in every category? And I believe that he is, and I believe you'll believe he is if you'll ask the Spirit of God to open up your heart to it. But I want us to look at that. Number one, first of all, let's look at this. Jesus Christ is the greatest need.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's got to be in the category of need or usefulness. That's what makes a great gift. Let me just tell you something. The most expensive pair of high heels in the world wouldn't help me. I don't care if you pay thousands of dollars for them. I ain't wearing high heels. Hope nobody else in here is a man is either. That's a whole different sermon, by the way. The nicest oven that's ever been made, the most expensive oven that's ever been made, well, I don't care how much it cost or whatever it was, wouldn't do me a bit of good. Because I can't cook anything. But I am a champion at eating. You can tell that. So, just because something is valuable and expensive or valuable to somebody doesn't mean it's valuable to you. You got to have a need. And we get gifts all the time during Christmas that we don't need. That's why you still have those packs of socks left over from last year's Christmas that you haven't opened yet in your chest of drawers. Ain't that right? Well, I got some, I think. I don't know. For the greatest need of a gift. Listen. You need Jesus. You've never needed a gift like Jesus Christ. You need Him. You need salvation. That's your greatest need. Do you know what man's greatest need is? Man's greatest need is he needs Jesus Christ and His righteousness to cover him of his sin. And if you don't take care of that greatest need, it don't matter what else you have in life. When you draw your last breath here on this earth, when you die, the Bible says that you'll die separated from God and spend an eternity in hell. That's why Jesus Christ is your greatest need that you ever have, because you cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. I know that's not politically correct. I know that's being bigoted, and I know that's being narrow-minded and whatever, and I don't give a rip about being politically correct this morning. I've never given a rip about being politically correct. I want to be scripturally correct. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you go to heaven when you die, you will go through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the greatest need for mankind. We don't need new summits and new meetings of discussing world peace. There's not going to be any world peace till the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back and sets up His rule and reign in Jerusalem and rules on the earth for 1,000 years. And He'll rule with a rod of iron. And then there can be peace. There ain't going to be any peace while man's running things. You ain't going to solve, listen, you can't solve man's greatest problems. You can't solve man's greatest need. You can't tax everybody to death. I wish our government would get a hold of that.
Amen.
We just tax everybody to death to get more after-school programs and better health programs and better this and better that. And you'll still die in your sins and go to hell and burn forever. The greatest need is for you to get saved.
Amen.
And if you've never been saved, He'll save you today. That's why I think Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given, because when that gift's given to you, it takes care of man's greatest need. Number two, it's the greatest giver. The greatest giver. You know, I love for people to give me gifts and I appreciate it, but it's real special when my son gives me one, or maybe my wife or my parents or somebody real close to me, and they're special to me and they give me that gift. Some of you parents, you remember some of those crayon cards on construction paper given to you by your children and your grandchildren? Didn't cost much. Boy, that's a good gift, ain't it? That's a great, great gift. Do you know why? Because of who was giving it to you. That meant more to you than a nice, fancy car from someone else, didn't it? Well, this gift is given by somebody more special than your child, more special than your grandchildren, more special than your spouse. This gift is given by God Himself. That's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, I've been given some gifts by some pretty special people in my life. There's some people that's not a bit kin to me. There's people in this church that's no blood kin to me whatsoever. And you're closer to me and love me more, and I have a better relationship with you than some people that are blood kin to me. There's some people in this church that's given me lots of special gifts, and I appreciate it, and it's kind of you, and I love you, and I thank you for it. I want to say thank you already for the cards some of you have given me and the gifts some of you have given me. I appreciate that. I love it, and I'm thankful for it, and I don't deserve it. I want to tell you, when God Almighty said, I've got something for you, Dennis. I've got something for you, Russell. I've got something for you, Steve. I got something for you, Tony. Every one of you is personal. It's not that Jesus died for the world. Hallelujah. It's that He died for me. And He died for you. And God gave Him to us. And I tell you, there's nobody can top that. You say, well, I went to this foreign country and this king gave me this gift and this fellow. Who cares? God gave me a gift, His Son, Jesus Christ. And so whoever gives it, then that's the greatest giver. It's the greatest need, and that's the greatest giver. Hallelujah. And then number three, the greatest cost. See, a lot of people, they say that value the cost of a gift. Now, some of you women try to be pious and you say you don't, but you let your husband get you a ring out of a bubblegum machine. We'll see. We'll see. You let him bring you home a ring out of a bubblegum machine. We'll see. The value of a gift means a lot to most. How much is it worth, or how much does it cost? Well, listen, a gift costs something, somebody. We often say that salvation is free. Listen to me. I want to get something straight here this morning. Listen to me. We say that salvation is the free gift of God. It is free. But it's free to us. But salvation is technically not free. It costs somebody something. It costs God because He had to give up His Son. It costs Jesus because He had to leave heaven. And He had to shed His blood and suffer and have all that pain and suffering and torment for us. Not to mention the fact that He became sin for us. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him to be sin for us. It cost God His only begotten Son. It cost Jesus His precious blood. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that you have ever been given. Listen. There's nothing that will ever be given. There's no gift ever that is as precious and as costly as the blood of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. That's why I believe He's the greatest gift ever given. Because He's worth it. You take all the gifts and the money and the junk in this earth and pile it up in one big heap. And it pales in comparison to Jesus Christ. There's no comparison at all. It's short. Very, very, very short. It's the greatest cost. I tell you why else. Number four, why He's the greatest gift ever given. Not only because it's the greatest need, a man. The greatest giver, God gave him. The greatest cost, what His blood is worth. But it's the greatest love. The greatest love. John 3:16, we quoted it a while ago. For God so loved the world that He gave. God gave that gift and Jesus died because of love. Now I'm going to tell you, for most of us, if you've got any heart at all, it wouldn't matter how great a gift is if it was just given totally out of obligation. You know, well, I got to get in this family, you know, he drew my name, I drew her name, stuff. Or if it was like, well, if I don't give them a gift, you know, I got to get them a gift. They expect it. Let me tell you something. This gift was given totally by the love of God. It was not out of obligation. Listen, Jesus Christ, God never owed you anything. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. The only thing God owed us that we earned and deserved was hell. That's it. And if God just wanted to give us something out of obligation, He was obligated to kick us off into hell for our sin and our wickedness and our ungodliness. But because of His love, He gave us the greatest gift ever given. His only begotten, perfect, wonderful Son He gave for us. Nobody ever loved you enough to give their son to die for you. Nobody did. But if they did, it wouldn't matter because your son couldn't die for a goat. My son couldn't die for a goat. But Jesus Christ was the only one that could die for us. And God so loved this world that He gave him. You top that. So that's four categories already. The need of a gift. If you're going to say, if you're going to make a bold statement, say, this is the greatest gift ever given. Well, do you need it? Yes. Every man in this world needs that gift. And it's his greatest need. Who gave it? The greatest of all. God gave it. All right, what did it cost? It cost more than anything on this earth costs. All right. Well, what kind of heart was given by it? With the greatest love. Nobody ever loved like God. But then there's one more category I think is real important. If you're going to make the claim that this is the greatest gift ever given, if you're going to say that there's no gift like this, there's one more category I think is very important. And I think that is the sacrifice of the gift. The sacrifice. You know, when people work hard and they give a lot because they're working hard, it means something, don't it? Oh, Jesus talked about that in the Bite when He paid attention to the widow's mite. You remember that story? She didn't put in hardly nothing, but Jesus said, hey, she outdone all you rich folks by a mile. She gave all she had. You may have gave a lot more than her, but you had plenty. It didn't cost you nothing. It wasn't a sacrifice. But for that woman to put in, it was a sacrifice. I think back to some of the Christmas gifts I've gotten. And I know people sacrifice money to buy them. I know people sacrifice time. When I think about sacrifice, I think about my grandmother Knowles. She's with the Lord now, Miss Ruby Knowles, a wonderful woman. I love her. But for years, when you walked into her house in the living room, above the living room was a quilt rack. And I don't know how many quilts my grandmother made. There ain't no telling, is there? Some of you folks that know her. But the grandchildren got some of her quilts. Now let me tell you something. My grandmother never had much money. My grandmother has so many grandchildren and great grandchildren. I don't know if how many greats. She'd give us all a $2 bill. That's a lot of money by the time she went through everybody. But I'll tell you what she did do. I got one of her quilts. Do we have more than one of them? We got more than one of them. Now let me tell you something. You say, well, I could have went out and bought something that cost three times that much. Yeah, you might could have, but it had been no sacrifice. You got plenty of money and plenty of time. God bless you. But every one of those quilts that I've got and the other grandchildren have got and people in that family got, my grandmother sat there hour after hour after hour and stitched and stitched and padded and stitched and worked and worked and worked. It was a sacrifice. A sacrifice. And the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made. Jesus Christ said, no greater love does a man have than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And that is the greatest sacrifice you can ever have. It's when you die for somebody. And Jesus Christ did that. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He gave the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could go to heaven when we die. That's why He's the greatest gift ever given. He supplies man's greatest need. He is given by man's greatest giver. It was given with the greatest love. It costs more than any gift in the world. And it's the greatest sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice. Now listen. I believe that I have thoroughly explained this morning. Like I said, I told you this wasn't going to be a very long sermon. I know we already had been here for a while. We've had the cantata. We're going to go have our Christmas lunch here in a moment. I believe I've adequately explained to you why Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever given. But let me tell you something about a gift. Everybody, don't tune me out now. Listen, listen, listen. A gift does you absolutely no good if you don't accept it. A gift does you absolutely no good if you don't accept it. What about if I said, Brother Russell, guess what? I just went to somewhere. I got you a brand new, you like 30-06s or 300 Magnums, what you like? Okay. He said, I do now. I got you a brand new 30-06, $1,000 scope on it. Brother, if you miss a deer, it's your fault. Here it is. I paid for it, and I love you so much just for being there for me. I just want to give it to you. It's free. You don't have to pay me nothing. You don't have to do nothing. There's no strings attached. I just want you to take it. I paid for it so that you can have it. And I say, here, Russell, here's your gun, man. Go kill some deer. What would happen if Russell were to look at me and say, I don't want it. I don't want it. But Russell, man, I mean, I worked hard for this gun. This gun costs a lot. I've been saving for months. I don't want it. Russell, I'm wanting to give it to you because I love you. I don't want it. I mean, I had to sacrifice for this gun. It took me a long time. I've been saving since last Christmas for you. I don't want it. I go, all right. Fine. He won't get it. And I'm telling you right now that God's, listen to me. God died and shed his blood for everybody in this church this morning. And he did it. You don't owe him nothing. You don't work for it. You don't do good for it. You don't do good works, all that kind of business. You just accept it by a free gift. But I'm telling you right now, if you reject that free gift, then it won't do you a bit of good. And if you reject that gift, you are slapping God in the face because you're rejecting his son after he would send his only son for you and love you that much so that you could go to heaven when you die. And you look up to God and say, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Then there's nothing but the angry brow of God to look down upon you. And there's nowhere for you to spend eternity but in the flames of the lake of fire. One more thing. Exchanging gifts is a custom we have here and during Christmas, isn't it? I don't think it's a very good custom. I done preached my message. I don't want to rehash all that again. I just don't understand that why in the real Christmas story, we say Christmas is about Jesus. In the real Christmas story, the only one that ever got a present was Jesus Christ. And the way we celebrate Christmas, everybody else gets one. Jesus don't get anything. Amen, that's right. But when you exchange gifts, somebody gives you a gift and you give them one. All right? Listen, if you're saved here and God's giving you the free gift of salvation, and you've been saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's nothing you can ever do that can match that. But don't you have something to give to God? Don't you have anything you can give to God? You sure do. You sure do. Right here. After that great gift God gave you, you can't give God some more time. You can't give God your talents. You can't give them your tithe. You can't love them. You can't be obedient to them. You can't read his book. You can't pray to him. You can't try to win souls. You mean to tell me after God gave you the greatest gift ever, you don't have anything at all to give Him? You do. You do, Christian, and you should. And I hope today, during this invitation, you'll come to this altar and you'll say, God, thank you for the greatest gift ever given. I could never, ever, ever repay what you've done for me. But by the help of God and the power of the Holy Ghost of God in my life, I'm going to die trying. Every head bowed, eye closed. Even now. Hurry, would you get up? Would you get up, Christian, and come? Would you pray and say, God, thank you. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for that mercy.